Okay, so we're on Daf Lamed Daled tonight. First of all, tonight's daf sponsored by Charles Libby on the occasion of the yahrzeit of his father, Dr. Nathan Libby, Nechemia ben Shlomo Halevi, Zichron Lebracha. We're learning this Lilu Nishmato. Okay, let me go over today's Daf Lamed Daled. Let me go over the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Gimel, and then we'll go to Daf Lamed Daled. Okay, so the Mishnah on Lamed Gimel, 33a. So it says six lines from the bottom. It says, Banitin Hamudar Haname Chavero, meaning, if Reuven has taken a neder that he, Reuven, will not get any hana from Shimon, he says, nevertheless, shokelo uchiklo. Notwithstanding the neder, Shimon can pay off Reuven's machzid shekel. In other words, everybody owes a machzid shekel. It's like paying your shul dues. You can pay off the shul dues for Reuven, even though Reuven is mudar hana from him. Uporeit chovo. And similarly, he can pay off a debt for him. So if Reuven owes $10,000 to somebody, Shimon, notwithstanding the fact that Reuven is mudar hana from Shimon, Shimon can pay off the debt. And the Gemara explains, you had this Gemara already from yesterday, so the Gemara explains that when you do those things, it's not like conferring a direct benefit on the recipient. It's like mavriach et ari, like chasing a lion away from him. In other words, the creditor, the other things. In other words, so I'm chasing away like this, you know, this problem he has, but I'm not giving him the money. That's indirect. And then here's the key line, which we'll focus on for tonight. Umachzilo et avedato. He, Shimon, can return Reuven's aveda. So Reuven's sheep, you know, went on the lamb. So Reuven's sheep, you know, got lost. Shimon can return the lamb to Reuven because that's Reuven's property. Now, let's say it's a situation where the finder, Shimon, he had to lose work to return the sheep. So Shimon is entitled to get some compensation because he lost time when he was working. But if Shimon does not want to take that money, then Reuven would be, you know, unjustly enriched because Reuven's not allowed to get hana from Shimon. So if Shimon doesn't want to take it, so Shimon, Reuven's going to be unjustly enriched in that situation. So under those circumstances, tipol hana lehekdesh. So Reuven should give that money to Hekdesh, and that'll take care of it. Okay? Everybody good with the Mishnah? Okay, let's turn the page to Lamed Gimel Beis 33b, six lines, eight lines from the bottom. Okay, many of the two dots. Machzir lo et aveda to, we said that Shimon can return Reuven's aveda. So, pliyiba Rabbi Yami Rabbi Yasi. There's a machloket between Rabbi Yami and Rabbi Yasi. Under what circumstances can Shimon return Reuven's aveda? Karamar lo shanu elab shnichse machzir asuna bal aveda. So, one opinion, it doesn't say who holds which. One opinion is that Reuven can't get enough from Shimon, which is the way that I was explaining to you. So when he returns the sheep to Reuven, he's just giving Reuven's property back to Reuven. So that's not conferring him, you know, forbidden hana. But if the if let's say Shimon is mudar hana from Reuven, he says lo kamahadulei. So let's say it would be a situation where Shimon cannot get benefit from Reuven. And Reuven lost a sheep. So according to this view, Shimon could not return the sheep to Reuven. Why? Because it says, the Kamahanile Pruta de Rabbi Yosef. So let me just review this. I'm sure you had this yesterday, but there's an idea in Halacha. Let me see the brief explanation, then we'll do a little more detailed. The idea is that if I'm returning your lost item, and then an Ani comes to me and asks me for tzedakah, so I don't have to give the Ani money because I'm osei for mitzvahs, patra min a mitzvah. A person who's busy with the mitzvahs, patra min a mitzvah. So there's a machloket in Bava Kama and Bava Metzi between Rabba and Rabbi Yosef. If a person is a shomer aveda, if I'm guarding a lost object, am I a shomer sachar or a shomer chinam? So if Yosef holds, I'm a shomer sachar. Why am I a shomer sachar? Shomer sachar means I'm being paid to guard the object. So, okay, that's a shomer sachar. Shomer chinam is, it's like I'm just like, you know, doing it for free. So, and then Shomer Sachar has a greater hischaibus, greater obligations in guarding it. He's chayav on Gneva Vaveda. So why, according to Rav Yosef, I'm a Shomer Sachar? Because I benefit from Prutid Rav Yosef. It's called Prutid Rav Yosef because that if an ani comes over to me, I'm immune. In other words, it means while I'm taking care of the animal. It was like, so the post can bring down if I'm not busy with the chefza, then I am chayev. But if I'm busy like the lamb, let's say I'm busy, feeding the lamb or something like that, and the ani comes to me at that moment, I say, I'm patur. So that's the benefit, the proof of the Rabbi Yosef. Okay, so now let's see back in the Gemara again. So again, so the Gemara says, let's say Shimon can't get hana from Reuven. If Shimon can't get hana from Reuven, then Shimon cannot return the chefza. Because when he returns the chefza, he'll be benefiting from prutah d'Rav Yosef. In other words, if an ani comes over to him, he has that benefit, so he can't return it to him. He says, three lines from the bottom, v'chad amar, and the other opinion says, apilu nichsei ba'alaveit asuro machzir maharilei. The second opinion holds that even if Shimon cannot get benefit from Reuven, Shimon nevertheless can return the sheep to Reuven, but Mahadulei, which from Prutah Rav Yosef lo shtiach. Because Prutah Rav Yosef, it's very uncommon to have Prutah Rav Yosef. Let's see the Ran, two lines from the bottom in the Ran. It says, Prutah Rav Yosef lo shtiach. He says, Shiavo ani li sha'el mi menabo tasha'a, that an ani is going to come to him, bedafka, when he's busy with the lamb, in my example, very remote. The name of Loma Hadir, Mishum de Benhanimidi, that we should say, you don't have to return the object because maybe remotely this could occur. The Chihai Gavna, Kim Lo Shchiach, Lo Habi Bechlal Yisra Na. That's so remote, we wouldn't say it's included with Hana'a. Umiu came into Efter Da'ati Benhanimina. Nevertheless, since there is that possibility that he would benefit, Shomer Sakhar Huala, Bechai Begneva Veda. He does have a Chalashem of a Shomer Sakhar, but otherwise, according to the second opinion, he still could return the chepza. And let's look at the Rashi/Mafarish upstairs, last three lines in the Rashi/Mafarish. Who's Rav Yosef lo shchiach? So the Rashi explains it a little bit differently than we just did in the Ran. He says, lo shchiach yagavna levei shavik lo yai pruta l'anya. He says, very remote, that the person would not give some staka to the ani, b'shvil ota mitzvah, lo mitanim in ekval, fichach masir lo abedeto. So Rashi takes it that even though he could be patur, he would give him some staka. He would give it to him anyway. So he's not really getting such benefit from it. Okay? So, no. In other words, the object is in his possession. He's taking care of the object. So when he's busy taking care of the object, if an ani comes to him at that moment, he's patur. So, no. Let's go back. So in Achinami, so that's the machloket. Let's say Shimon is mudar hana from Reuven. Shimon can't get hana from Reuven. So is Shimon allowed to return the object to Reuven? So according to one side, he's not allowed to. So we're probably right. He cannot get involved with it. According to the other one, no. He could get involved. And there's a mitzvah to return it. Okay. So again. So let's go slowly through this again. So we're talking about Mudar Hana. We have Reuven and Shimon. So the way that we're explaining it, if Reuven is Mudar Hana from Shimon, Shimon nevertheless could return the lamb to Reuven because he's only returning his own property that he can return. And then there is the possibility that we didn't come to yet that Reuven may benefit because he might owe some money to Shimon and Shimon may decline it. But then that money he give to Hakdash. But we said this machloket. Let's say Shimon is mudar hana from Reuven. Can Shimon return the chefza to Reuven? So there, the first side says no, because he'll be benefiting pruta d'Rav Yosef, and then Shimon will be getting benefit from this whole thing. Second one says pruta d'Rav Yosef is in shliach, and mainly it's so remote we don't have to worry about it. Okay, that's what we did so far. Everybody okay?
Well, what are the chances that an ani at that moment in time?
That's what we just said. We just said that in the Ran. We just said that 1 minute ago. Did you hear me say that? We said that according to one opinion, it's very remote because it's very unlikely to occur. Okay? All right, let me move further in the Gemara. Okay? Now, on Lamed Daled Amud Aleph, the top lines. Okay? So now we're going back to our Mishnah. It says, Tanan. So now we're going to read the Mishnah and plug these opinions back into our Mishnah. Tanan, Makom Shnot Mila Sakar. So again, we don't know what the pshat of this line is. I told you based on the maskana, but we don't know what this line means in the Mishnah. So Tanan, Makom Shnot Mila Sakar, we said if it means a situation where Reuven, the owner of the lost object, in my case, a lamb, he would have to pay Shimon, Tipolana Lehekdesh. then that money, instead of paying Shimon, he'll give it over to Hekdesh. So Bishleim Laman Damar, Afil Bishnechse Baal Aveda Asura Masir Nami Mahadir. So according to the opinion that says that that even Nechse Baal Aveda Asura Masir, that Shimon can't get Bet Hana from Reuven, nevertheless, Shimon will still return it. That was the last opinion. Meaning, we can explain this way. This is the way the Rush explains to say it. We can explain the Mishnah is talking about where Reuben and Shimon are both mudar now from each other. Reuben can't get Hana from Shimon. Shimon can't get Hana from Reuben. And Shimon, but according to one opinion, even under those circumstances, Shimon is allowed to return the lamb to Reuben. And Reuben can take the lamb back as well. So now, but under those circumstances, so Shimon can't get Hana from Reuven, so Reuven can't pay Shimon any money because Shimon is the Mudar Hana from Reuven. And
he can't keep the money either.
And right, and exactly right, he can't keep the money either. So then I understand the holding in the Mishnah. So I could say the Mishnah is talking about a case where they're each Mudar Hana from each other, and it's saying that under those circumstances, so Shimon is owed money, but he can't take the money, and Reuven is benefiting from it, but he can't keep the money. So Reuven gives the money to Hekdesh. That's the what the Mishnah. That's the pshat in the Mishnah. So we're good according to that side. We're good. We're going to come to it. But in other words, if it's both ways, we definitely can understand it. It's easy for us to understand the case of the Mishnah, right? If it's both ways, then Shimon can't take
one way.
Which is the one way?
Reuven can't have any money.
All right. Just wait till the end of the sugya. Okay, we'll see. Okay. So, but if it's both ways, certainly we understand why the money's got to go to Hekdesh. That we definitely understand. He says, El Raman Damar, but according to the other opinion, Shenichse Ba'alaveda Sruma Machzir Lo Mahadir, but according to one opinion, which we read just above, that when the Shenichse Ba'alaveda Sruma Machzir, when Shimon can't give Hana from Reuven, Lo Mahadir, then Shimon is not allowed to return the Chafza. He doesn't return it. So again, if Shimon can't get Hana from Reuven, Shimon can't return the Chetzah to Reuven. That means the case of the Mishnah must be talking about, according to that opinion, where Reuven is Mudar Hana from Shimon. That's the only case the Mishnah can be talking about. The Reuven can't get Ben Hana from Shimon. So he says, Amai Tipol Hana Hekdesh. So why? In other words, let's say Shimon has expended, you know, money, will take time off from work. So why can't Reuven pay him for his? In other words, Reuven is mudar hana from Shimon. Reuven can't get hana from Shimon. That's the only thing he's doing. Reuven can't get hana from Shimon. So if Shimon has expended time, you know, off from work, and Reuven owes him money, so why is Reuven giving that money to Hekdesh? Why doesn't Reuven just pay Shimon the money? Reuven should just pay money Shimon the money. Why does Tana Mishnah say Tipol Hana Hekdesh? So the Gemara, I think this is what you were saying, Yosef. The Gemara says Achada Ketani. The Gemara is just, according to that opinion, is teaching me one route. In other words, in that Ukimta, and if Shimon declines to be paid, then and under those circumstances, Reuven would have to give the money to Hekdesh. That's what it's saying. So it's not, you know, in other words, not every, in other words, the first case, if the Mudar Hana from each other, then every case got to give it to Hekdesh. Mudar Hana from each other, every case they're going to have to give the Reuven is going to have to give the money to Hekdesh. But if it's not Mudar Hana from each other, and it can't be Mudar Hana from each other, of course, according to one opinion, if Shimon is Mudar Hana from Reuven, he can't return the lamb, so it can't be that way. So according to that opinion, if Reuven is only Mudar Hana from Shimon, so then under some circumstances, then the money would go to Hekdesh, but not all circumstances.
Yes,
Otherwise, okay. Everybody good so far? You good, Josh? So again, it means like this: Shimon is returning the lamb to Reuven. Shimon had to take off from work or whatever in order to return the lamb, so he's out of pocket. So Reuven owes him that money. So the Gemara says Reuven should pay him. So well, why does the Tana Mishnah say that it goes to Hekdesh? So the Gemara is explaining that there is a way. It could be that Shimon would decline the money. Shimon says, thank you, but I decline it. Then Reuven would be benefiting from Shimon. So then he has to give a Hekdesh. Okay? Everybody good? Okay, now the second attempt. All right? Now, okay, we're in the Gemara, Lamed Daled Amud Aleph, 10 lines.
I have a question. One second. What if that amount of money is a huge amount that Reuven now has to give to Hegdesh? A huge amount.
All right. It is what it is. Okay. It is what it is. Okay. I got to move on. Okay. Now. Okay. Now. The 10 lines from the top. Okay. Now. Ikedamat Milah Bahai Lishna. Now, some learn that the conversation of the base managers went down as follows. So delete everything we did up till now, and now we'll start from scratch. So, Ikedamat Milah Bahai Lishna. Pliyiba Rebami Rebasi. There was Machlokpin Rebami Rebasi. Khadamar. Now, again, they're talking about the case of the Mishnah. The case of the Mishnah is the case where Shimon is returning the lamb to Reuven. So, Ikedamani La Bahai Lishna, Pligiba Reban Rebas, Chadamar, Lo Shanu, Ela Bishanichse Balaveda, Asurin Al Mafsir. He says that the only case, the only time that Shimon could return lamb to Reuven is when Shimon is Mudar Hana from Reuven. He says, "B'shenichse ba'la beda asurin al maksi." Right, Shimon is mudar hana from Reuven. U'shem pruta Rabbi Yosef lo shchias, and he holds that pruta Rabbi Yosef, in other words, like you were saying before, Ruth, and Ron said before. He says, like pruta Rabbi Yosef is very remote. I'm not worried about that. So even though, in other words, the only case that Shimon could return a lamb to Reuven is where Shimon is mudar hana from Reuven, so he can return it because the only possible benefit he would get from returning it is Prutz Rav Yosef, and Prutz Rav Yosef is not Shchia. That's not common. So nothing to worry about with that. And in terms of paying him for his out of pocket, so that he's entitled to, he's not benefiting. That's like paying his losses. Aval Nixay Maxir Asuma Balaveda. But if Reuven is Mudar Hana from Shimon, he says Aval Nixay Maxir Asuma Balaveda Lo Mahadrimai. Then this who came to holds, Shimon cannot return it. So if Reuven is mudar hana from Shimon, Reuven took a neder, he's not going to get any hana from Shimon, then Shimon can't return the lamb to Reuven, Shimon to kamahanilei, because he's bringing him benefit. Now, we said before, I'm just returning his own object. So how am I giving him benefit? It's his own property. So if you look at the Ran, where's the Ran? One second. Yeah. One second. Yeah, I think it's the third very wide line in the run downstairs. This is Bishleim Lamantam Rav Bishleim Kolomar. No. One second. Where did it go? You're right. Okay, the second white line, like Yosef was saying, he says, "Abal benichse maxir suro balaveda lo mahadilei b'shem to kamahanilei." He's benefiting the adiv tzvei miporei lo chovo. The kamamtle biyade, in other words, he's giving the chafza to him in his hand. He's returning the lamb, in my example, to him in his hand. The ilov the kamahadirle, and if he didn't return the lamb to him, etra the pasavine the gamer, he might never get the lamb back. In other words, yeah, it's his property, but he might never see it. So he can't return it back. So one side is saying that the Mishnah cannot be talking about a case where Reuven was mudar hana from Shimon. Because if Reuven is mudar hana from Shimon, then Shimon can't return the lamb to him. So the case in the Mishnah then has to be a case where Shimon was mudar hana from Reuven. Where Shimon was mudar hana from Reuven, so then he returns the land to him, but he and from Prutz Rav Yosef is lo shliach. Now, according to that Ukimta, you have to say that the Mishnah is divided. The first two cases of the Mishnah, which were with the Shekel and Porei Lo Chovo, is Reuven is mudar hana from Shimon. Reuven can't get hana from Shimon, and Shimon pays off his debt or pays his machzir to Shekel. And then the third case with the machzir aveda is a different case where Shimon is mudar hana from Reuven, according to the Sukkimta. Okay, that's the only case that he can return it. If Shimon is mudar hana from Reuven, he can return it, because if Reuven is mudar from Shimon, he can't return it. Okay, now let's see back in the Gemara. He says, on one line above the Aleph in parentheses, it says, "V'chanamar afilu nichse machzir asur no balaveda." The other opinion holds that even if Reuven is mudar hana from Shimon, mutar. Shimon is allowed to give him back his lamb. The chimahadule, when he gives him the item back, needed an afshek mahadule. He's giving him his own property, so it's fine. Okay? So now the Gemara is going to plug it back into the Mishnah. So Tanan, the key is the first part that we did. The first part is saying that the Mishnah has to be talking about a case where Shimon is mudar hana from Reuven. Okay, we'll see in a minute. So Tanan, makom shnolim le'sachar, if it's a place where a situation where Reuven owes Shimon money, tipol anal lehekdesh. That money should go to hekdesh. So b'shleim leman damar, atilu b'shenichse machzir asur balaveda mahader. So according to the second opinion, that even when Reuven is mudar hana from Shimon, Shimon nevertheless can give him back because that's his own property. And the matareis makom. So then I understand the situation where Reuven is mudar hana from Shimon. Reuven can't give it hana from Shimon. Reuven owes money to Shimon, and Shimon may decline it. So then he gives it to Hekdesh. That I understand. Elaman damar mishnesi machzir asurin below mahadir. But according to one opinion, that when the nixei machzir asurin, nixei machzir asurin, in other words, lo mahadir. So according to the second opinion or the first opinion, that when Reuven is mudar hana from Shimon, he can't give it back. So if Reuven is mudar hana from Shimon, if Reuven can't get hana from Shimon, then Shimon cannot return the lamb back to him, according to the first opinion, right? If Reuven is mudar hana from Shimon, Shimon can't return the lamb because remember we did the round before, because the lamb is like giving him benefit. He might lose the lamb altogether, so he can't get it. So the case of the Mishnah has to be then where Shimon is mudar hana from Reuven. That's the only case that makes sense in the Mishnah. So Shimon can't get hana from Reuven. So if Shimon can't get hana from Reuven, so that's the case he returns it. So in Akinami, maybe Shimon can't get paid by Reuven, but why can't Reuven keep the money? Why can't Reuven keep the money in that case? Why is he giving back to Hekdesh? In other words, the case in the Mishnah is only a case where Shimon can't get hana from Reuven. Shimon is not allowed to get hana from Reuven. So Shimon may not take the money that's due him or something like that. He's not taking it. So why does Reuven have to give it to Hekdesh? Why can't Reuven keep it in that case? Right. He could get it. So why can't he? So the Gemara says, hey, so hechi mitaritz makom. So the Gemara says kasha. The Gemara leaves it as a kasha. That's difficult. Okay. So now, that's the end of this piece of sukkah. Now, the Ron Paskins, he says that the Ron Paskins, that either way, that the chepsa would be returned. That's the way the Ron Paskins. Okay. What? We're not worried about that. Okay. All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Everybody, okay? Okay, let's turn the page. We're on Lamed Daled Amud Beis, okay? Okay, the top line. Now, the Gemara brings up a case which doesn't seem to relate, but it only relates to the case that follows, and then we'll see how this goes, okay? So, Amar Rava, Haitalafanav Ki Karshal Hefker. Let's say there's a loaf of bread that's Hefker, it's ownerless, or it's in the Rishus of Hefker. He says, Va'amar, and Reuven says, Kikarzu Hekdesh. This kikar he declares to be hekdesh, then natala la'ochla, and then after he declares to be hekdesh, he picks it up with intent to eat it. Now, obviously, if something's hekdesh, you're not allowed to benefit from it. And if you benefit from it, b'shogeg, you have to be a keren and a chomesh and bring a korban me'ilo. So he says, let's assume for illustration purposes, this would be the loaf of bread. He says, just illustrating, kikarzu hekdesh, and then he picks it up with intent to eat it. So when he picks it up, he's bringing it into his rishus. So that's enough for me'ila. In other words, if I take something into my rishus, if I benefit from it, it's me'ila. If I bring it into my rishus, it's me'ila. So he picks it up, t'tala okla, ma'al fikula. So he did me'ila totally on the total value of the loaf of bread. So if the loaf of bread was $10, so he owes the keren, that amount, and he owes a chomesh, and he has to bring a korban. it's picking up with intent to transfer it to his possession. He's picking it up with intent to, like you'd say in law, convert it. In other words, it's Kekdesh. He's picking it up that he's going to acquire for himself. So that's an act of Mila. Okay? In other words, act of Mila, I take it from the Rishos HaHekdesh, bring it to my Rishos. So that's what he's doing. So now, he says, Lahorisha Labana, but if his intent in picking it up was not to acquire the loaf of bread to eat it, his intent is just that he wants to give it as part of his bequest to his sons. So he's still tied for Me'ila, but the value of the Me'ila is not the value of the loaf of bread. The value of the Me'ila, because now he's not acquiring it for himself right now, is that he intends that his son should inherit it. So it's Tobarana, like the sons like him. Look what dad left me. A loaf of bread. Nothing says I love you like a loaf of bread. Anyway, the amount of Me'ila is what the Tobit Hana is worth. In other words, the benefit of the gratitude that my sons feel for leaving the loaf of bread. So let's assume a loaf of bread is worth $10. The Tobit Hana might be $1, let's say, or something like that. So that would be the amount of Me'ila. Okay, that's the first halacha. Everybody with me? Okay, now let's go further. So now, by Minei Rav Chiya Bar Avin Mei Rava. Now, Rav Chiya Bar Avin poses the following question to Rava, which is why we brought the first case in. Good, please, I need everybody to mute themselves. Somebody's not muted, and they're going to be muted really soon. Okay, let me help you out. Okay, now everybody's muted. Okay, now, so by Minei Rav Chiya Bar Avin Mei Rava, Kikari Alecha. Let's say the different case now. Reuven says to Shimon, my loaf of bread is alecha, is prohibited to you. He says, unatana lo batana, and then Reuven takes the loaf of bread and gives it to Shimon as a gift. So he says, mahu, what's alecha in that case? Kikari amar lo, kita berushute hu da'asur. Is it that he said, my loaf is prohibited to you? But if it's not my loaf anymore, then all bets are off. So I gifted it to you, so now it's your loaf. So then maybe he's permitted to have it. O Dilma Alecha Amarle, Ilave Shavite Hekdesh. Or perhaps he's saying, no, Tikari Alecha, my intent is that this loaf should be prohibited to you. So it's like Shavite like Hekdesh. I'm declaring this loaf vis-a-vis you is like Hekdesh. In other words, it's Hekdesh. Just forget about it. It's history. Okay. So that's the question. That's the question that Rav Chiya Bar Avin posed to Rava. So Amarle, this is four lines from the bottom. Rava says back to him, Shita, the Afogab, the Yahabale, Matana Asur. He says, it's obvious to me, Rava says, that even though he gave it as a Matana, the loaf of bread remains prohibited to Shimon. Loaf of bread remains prohibited to Shimon. Now, it starts getting a little very dicey now. Now, I must tell you, there's another Girsa in this Gemara. One second. And I'm not doing the Girsa. And there's different ways to learn in the coming lines. We're going to take the simplest method, okay? So we're going to take it as best we can. So the Gemara says, so pshita the apagav the abalibantana sur ella ki kariya lecha la pukimoi says. So the way I'm learning now, Rava is saying to Rav Chiya Bar Avin, so ki kari alecha. What did he mean by kikari alecha is prohibited? What was he trying to say? What is he trying to exclude? And he says, kikari alecha. My love la puki digantami name mignav. Is he trying to exclude the case? In other words, he's trying to say something. He says, kikari alecha, my loaf of bread is prohibited to you. So what is the intent of the no there, of Reuven who says, kikari alecha? What is his thinking? We're trying to understand if he gifts it to him. What is he trying to prohibit? So let's look at the Ran on this. He says, we'll do this five, six lines from the bottom. I'm going to lay pshita the afagav yavinei lay batana asur di'ilo. So the Ran has a slightly different girsa. If not, alecha lapukimai lapukit ganva migna bitmia. It's a rhetorical question. Klomar badai the afagav yavinei lay batana. It was certainly, even if Reuven gave it to him as a gift, he says, Asar Lav Kikaro, it must be that his intent was that the loaf should remain prohibited to Shimon, the Elo, because if that was not his intent, La'izo Indian Astralav. What, in other words, What does he mean by he's asking it on him? My nafkalim in Yisro. He's what comes from his Yisro? A reba ocha kikar shelo uvershuto insert for asrolav. He doesn't have to. If, in other words, if it's my loaf, I don't have to asr on you. I just won't give it to you. He says shereim asurvo made hulo. Which is my loaf, so I don't have to asr on you. It's my loaf. You're not eating my loaf. He says velek lemeimar dushem haki asrolav dushem di imignav minei titzar alei. So what's the alternative? Maybe I asked it because it might be you'll steal it from me, and this way it'll remain prohibited to me even if you steal it from me. Nobody's thinking that way. You steal the loaf, it's prohibited to you. The only way it makes sense, Rav is saying, the way the Rav understands it, why did he ask for it? They shlo yafsirbo shiit nalo, so that Shimon doesn't hock me a chaynik that I should give him the loaf. In other words, I don't want to hear from him anymore, and I don't hear you give me the loaf. He says the cave and chicane, and since that's the only reason he's making this neder, of course, if you look for matan asherla delay. So his intent was to asher them, even if he gives it to matan. That's the way the Ran says. Okay, so let's go slowly one more line, and then we'll take it down the Gemara. So the Gemara says, why is he ashering it? Because if he steals it, it shouldn't be his. No, he wants to asher it, so he wants to asher it even if he's in matana. So the Makshin says, the Makshin is Rav Chiya bar Avin, Amarlei, lo la'apukei di azmini Allah. No, he's concerned for the case that if he's in, not for that case, the matana, but if Reuven invites him for a meal. Let's look at the one, and again, there's different ways to learn this line. Gemara. One second, two lines from the bottom of the round. Amarlei la'apukei di azmini Allah, kolomar, yolamei mala, yayvli matana sharilei. In other words, Rav Chiya, the Makshin wants to say, I think the other way around. I think if he gives it a matana, it's permissible. He says, "B'chi kamalei alecha." Why is he making this whole neder la puke di azmani Allah? That if he invites him for a meal, titzar lei, it nevertheless will remain prohibited to the guest. But he shaita nami kikarohi, because even when he's the guest, the kikar still belongs to the balabas. In other words, so that's what he intends. In other words, this kikar is prohibited to you. And even Luyatsur, I invite you to my house, the loaf is prohibited to you, according to the Makshin. But if you give it as a gift, it's permissible. Okay, so that's the way the Ran is taking it down. Now, there's different ways of learning this. One big nafkamina is the way the Ran learns from Chibra Abed is saying that if he's a guest, that the loaf still remains prohibited to him. The Rashi / Mefaresh wants to say if he's a guest, the loaf becomes permissible to him. So this is a big nafkamina. In other words, like if I go to somebody's house, who does the food belong to that I'm about to eat? So let's see the Rashi Mefaresh. He learns everything a little differently, he says. Right. So La Puki Yasmani Allah means that he could eat at the person's house. That's what he's coming to teach. So the let me just finish the Gemara. We'll try to come back to this, okay? Because it was confusing. Okay, now let's see Laman Hamal. Let me just do 10 lines of the Gemara and we'll come back. Okay. So Efe, so there's a question now against Rava. So again, so the way I'm learning, Rava says, if he gives it as a matana, it's prohibited. And the Makshin takes it, if he gives it as a matana, it's permissible. So now we're going to ask a kasha against Rava, and we think from this price it's going to come out that if he gave the object as a matana, it's permissible. So there are Amorayim, and now we have a price, the eighth thing. Amarlo hashilini paracha. Reuven says to Shimon, I want you to loan me your cow. Amarlo, and Shimon says to Reuven, Konam para shani kanui laka. He says, you're saying a konam on my para that you can't get hana from it. Or the chasai alaka. Or again, he's making like a konam, my property is prohibited to you. Imieshli para elazu. So the way, again, there's different ways to learn this line of the Gemara. If I have any more paro, this para is prohibited to you. So in those Reuven says to Shimon, I want you to loan me your para. So Shimon takes a neder. He says, this para is prohibited to you if I have any more para, any more now. Then it's permissible to you. Or case two, let's see what this Daniel. Hashileni kardomcha. Reuven says to Shimon, loan me your kardom, which is like cross between like a shovel and like a shovel. Hashileni kardomcha. Amarlo konam kardom chieshli shani kanui. He says, he's making it there again, my kardom is prohibited to you, or nechasai alai, or alef, it should be, initially kardom, or all my property is prohibited to you if I have a kardom. El is that, other than this. Vimsa sheishlo, in either case, comes out, he's got other animals, he has other kardumim. So now, the debtor is in effect. So b'chayav asur. So the Gemara says, during the lifetime of Shimon, so Reuven can't benefit from the power or from the kardom. May, but if you know Shimon is gestorben geboren, so it's not his anymore. He says, but oh shenitna lo b'matana, or if Reuven receives the para or the kardom as a gift, it's permissible. Hareza mutar. That's the key line. If he receives it as a gift, it's mutar. So that seems like on all fours against Rava. Rava says if he asks you something and he gives you the gift, it's asura. Here is his mutar. So Amar Bacha Bereza Rav Ika. So Rav Akbarika says a third party gave it to him. In other words, if the person who made the neder, he would give it to him, then remains prohibited. But if, let's say in my original example, Reuven said this key card is prohibited to you, and then Reuven gives the key card to Levi as a gift, and then Levi gives the key card to Shimon, then it's permissible. That's Aydei Acher. Says, or Amravashi, that's the example, Amravashi. Dekanami de Katani, one could deduce this from a careful reading of the Braisa. He says, Shinitnalo. It says it was given to him. Lokatani Shinitanalo. He doesn't say he gave it to him, but he, the one who made the netter, gave it to him. It says, Shinitnalo. It was given to him. So it's a third party gave it to him. Okay, so with the Gemara earlier, we said, so Rabbi says that Yabali Matas Asur. So, now, another way of learning this is, see, it gets tricky with the different lines. See, another way to learn it was, so one way he had in the Parish of Rush was, 1 second. Yeah. That, and it was the first way the Ron was a rhetorical question. He wants to say that if he would steal it, it would be mutar to him. It would steal it, there would be, in other words, if Reuven makes the netter that Shimon can't get benefit from the kikar, and Shimon would steal the kikar, it would be not mutar to steal, but there would be no netter on it. And so, achas kamakama, the loaf should be permissible. So he says, so he says, isn't that the case that, so that would be a case where he's teaching me a heter case. I don't know. So some of the Gemara is saying that he's trying to teach me a heter case. But the way that the Rashi Mefarish learns the heter case is if he invites him to the house. So somehow he gets there. Okay, now, let me just do a little bit with this, and then this will be a day. Now, he's got the names all kind of like permission the other way here. But it comes out that according to Ron, even if the no dare invites the mudar to his house, the mudar is still prohibited in eating the meal, even if he invites him to the house. And he said, what? In other words, Reuven says to Shimon, Tikari alecha. My loaf of bread is prohibited to you. And then Reuven invites Shimon for lunch to his house. So according to the Ron, Shimon is not allowed to eat that kikar. Shimon can't eat it. His guest. And then Rashi has a different version of the Gemara, and he says that, no, he's allowed to eat the loaf. He's allowed to eat the loaf of bread. So the Marasham notes that the Ron and the Mefarish apparently disagree as to who legally owns the food served to a guest. The Ron is of the opinion that the food served to guests legally belongs to the host. He says, whereas the Mefarish assumes that the guest acquires legal possession of the portion that is served to him. So I told you, you know, where this comes up. I've discussed this with you in the past on Pesach. So different posts can bring down that a person needs to own the matzah. You still with me? This different post can bring down that a person needs to own the matzah in order to be yotzei the mitzvah of achilas matzah on Leil Pesach. So some people are makpid, bring their own matzah or to acquire the matzah before, but it's talui with a little bit of this. If I'm a guest at somebody's house, do I acquire that food or whatever? So, but that's one issue. Now he says the Riyaz states that if a guest takes his portion of food and gives it to a woman for kiddushin, the kiddushin is valid. In other words, let's say I'm a guest in somebody's house and I take some of the food off the table and I say, harei mukadeshet li with this potato, whatever it is. He says, even though it is essential the groom have legal ownership of the item used, the Riyaz assumes that the host has no objection if his guest elects to use his portion of food for kiddushin instead of eating it, and therefore he may use his portion for kiddushin. The Marsham comments that the ruling of the Riyaz is consistent with the position of the Farish that a guest legally owns the food served to him. However, according to the Ran, who asserts that a guest does not own the food served to him, a guest cannot take his portion, the portion given to a woman for kiddushin. Okay, now, the Nidre Zeruzin, however, suggests reconciling the ruling of the Riyaz with the position of the Ran. So, again, the Ran says he can't eat. The Ran says if there's a neder, he can't eat the loaf. But the Riyaz says if he asks for shush from the Balabas, he can eat Kaddish Nisha. So the Nidre Zeruzin wants to reconcile the two. He cites the Magen Avraham, which was the distinction between food served to guests in a common serving plate and food served as individual portions. The Magen Avraham submits that food served to a guest on an individual plate becomes the legal possession of the guest since it was given exclusively to him, whereas food served in a common serving plate is owned in part by everyone seated at the table. The Nidre Zeruzin suggests that when the Ran says the bread served to guests legal belongs to the host, he's referring to bread placed in the center of the table on a common serving plate. A guest who is Mudar Hana may not eat from that bread because the host owns part of it. Thus, even if the guest has a legal partnership in that bread, since the host also owns a share, the guest is forbidden to eat it. In contrast, the Riyaz, who permits a guest to use his portion for kiddushin, is referring to food that was served to him on an individual plate. It is possible the Ran agrees that such food belongs entitled to the guest, as Magen Avraham says, it was served exclusive to him. He wants to have a little bit of a different fact situation. Okay, now, he has a similar topic. Everybody's still with me? Okay, this is in the Daf Digest now. He says, the Ramah rules that if a guest takes some of the food his host placed on the table and gave it to a woman for kiddushin, the kiddushin is valid since food taken by a guest becomes property. The Taz challenges this ruling from Shulchan's ruling that a guest is not permitted to take some of the food that the host put out on the table and give it to the host's son or slave. In other words, if I'm a guest, I can't take the food and give it to the son. I can't give it to the servant. He says, why then would a guest be able to take some food that is on the table and give it to the woman for kiddushin? In light of this question, the Taz rules that the kiddushin is in a state of uncertainty, suffic kiddushin. So the contradiction gives rise to significant debate about whether a guest acquires the food that is placed on the table before him. The Chuvas Chikmei Lei, for example, writes that the matter is a dispute between Yishonim, expanding upon our Gemara. Do we say the guest becomes the owner of the food as soon as it's placed before him, or does he not become the owner until he actually lifts up the food, Hagbah? Or Shlomo Kluger, the Chachmat Shlomo, writes that once the guest has eaten his fill, Kidesovo, the leftovers revert back to the host. There's an assumption the host only confers ownership on the portion the guest will eat. If, however, the guest refrains from eating his fill, leftovers of the portion he would have eaten remain his, and he may use them to betroth the woman. Okay, now, the last halakha. Please, everybody that's focused. Now, the Rav Shmuel Levi, the Shevet Levi, addressed the issue of whether guests at a simcha are permitted to take home food or flowers when the simcha is over. The Shevet Levi ruled that it is akin to theft, srak gezel, to take leftovers from a simcha, except for the portion that one was given that he did not finish. The reason is that many times leftovers are taken home by the host of the simcha, and sometimes in Eretz Yisrael, the host returns the uneaten leftovers and receives credit from the simcha hall for the uneaten portions. He says, in the United States, however, where the leftovers are normally thrown away after the simcha, will be permitted for a guest to take home any portions that would otherwise be thrown away. Okay. That's what the Shevet Halevi says. That's what the Shevet Halevi is telling you. Well, he's saying if you're in Eretz Yisrael, he's saying in Eretz Yisrael, in other words, the key is that will the host use that food later on? So if the host is going to use that food to return it or for other purposes, that's right. But if you're not going, nothing going to, you know, it would be thrown away. So then you'd be allowed to take it home. Now, but certainly the food which is being served to you, that's your. Are you leaving? Oh, good, because we need you for a minute. Now, all right. Now let me do one more thing here. Well, I don't know. I don't know. He says
when
here.
You take the leftovers to a door. Are you gonna take it anymore?
One second. Okay. All right. Let's do one last story and that'll be it. Okay. A certain man attended a simcha. He remained a respectable amount of time and eventually stood up to go. As he left, he removed some plastic bags from his pocket and filled them with food from the buffet. A duly shocked fellow guest asked the man if he had permission to take food from the Baal HaSimcha. Not explicitly, the man replied. But what gives you the right to take his food? Asked the indignant one. What do you mean? The Baal HaSimcha did himself when he wrote on the invitation that my entire household was invited. Although they couldn't make it, I certainly have the right to bring them their portion. The fellow guest was not so sure and asked if he had spoken with the Rav. The man answered, no. This seems to me to be an open and shut case. No need to bother a posek. His fellow guest stated that he didn't think it was so simple and that he planned to ask. Later, the second guest brought the question before his own posek, who responded, I think this is definitely prohibited, but prefer to ask Rav Ozner regarding this. We already heard from Rav Ozner. I will ask and get back to you. Rav Ozner replied, it's forbidden. The invitation was not meant to be a meal voucher, just a nusach that permits one to bring his family. Rav Ozner continued, although the Rishonim at the very end of the Darim Lama Dalam Beis discussed whether one who is a guest at his host table requires the portion in front of him, it is only one is sitting down to eat. A guest who leaves the affair certainly has no right to take any food, unless he is certain it will be disposed of and will not be wanted or needed by any other guest, or the Baal HaSimcha himself. The only exceptions are if he himself didn't eat or if he asked the Baal HaSimcha. Okay, that's it for tonight. Let me recording one second. Let me get it back here. One second. Once.